Hey friends, welcome to the Courage Queen podcast. Do you want to have more confidence and courage in your life? Do you often question if you're on the right path? Maybe you're hoping somebody drops off a step-by-step guide for success. Do you wake up ambitious and hopeful, but become fearful and frustrated not knowing where to begin? Another year has gone by and you feel like nothing has changed. Trust me, I've been there. I'm Justine, and like many of you, I'm a young professional with big dreams. I often felt unworthy and incapable, wishing I had the clarity and the peace in the unknown. I wanted to be confident in my abilities and live life with more impact, but I kept fearing I wasn't living out my full potential. It wasn't until I started trusting God, pressing into life's hard moments, I was standing in the way of my breakthrough. And in this podcast, you're going to find ways to increase your confidence, grow your faith, and simply fear less. The good news is you're here, and courage starts with showing up. Well, hey, my friend, it's been a hot minute since we've been together, and I'm coming back for this episode to tell you something so important that has been arguably one of the most difficult things that I've gone through in my adult life. You know, making friends, keeping friends, nurturing friendships, knowing when those friendships are getting to a point where there's a season for them. And, you know, God talks about that, you know, how our expectations are really not aligned with his promises. And most times, you know, we would love to think that these friendships are perfect and that people in our lives, we're going to be friends with them forever, but that's just really not the case. And that's not even what God says in his word. And so I want to dive into that today a little bit to kind of explain and share with you, what does it mean to truly attract the best and release the rest? You know, maybe you've had a friendship or something happen in your life with a friend over the course of time that has made you question, like, am I worthy of friendship? Why do I always feel like I don't have the group or the people? You know, did I do something wrong? Is it something about me that people don't like? You know, what's God's plan for friendships in my life? And why do I always feel like the odd man out? These are all questions and so many more that I feel we go through so much as we navigate our friendships and the journey that we're on with them. And, you know, I really kind of dug into my Bible to really search, now coming out of the season where I feel like I've had quite a purging with a lot of friendships and a lot of new friendships that have come, I believe, on the other side of a lot of personal growth that I've been willing to walk alone and walk with God on. I've been willing to be misunderstood. I've been willing to accept that I'm not going to be the hero or the main character in somebody's story. I may appear to be the bad guy in somebody's story or their version of me. And, you know, we could be stressed out about that. We could be worried about that. We could be so concerned with, oh my gosh, I want everyone to like me. But you know what? The older I'm getting, the more I'm realizing that that's not really a healthy belief. You know, we think that, you know, very much as young girls even, you know, if we can just be the good girl that is just so good and well-behaved and doesn't step out or doesn't say anything and isn't bold and isn't honest and, you know, we don't want to ruffle feathers, so we don't really want to make anyone uncomfortable or say anything that's going to challenge anybody to rise to a certain level of excellence or expectation. And so, you know, we get caught in these well-meaning comments and really these lies of the enemy throughout our friendships. And so I went to search through the Bible to understand what God's vision was, what he promises us, that, you know, what he promises to us in our friendships and really what that looks like. You know, it's a journey that we're going to be on probably for a long time, for our entire life, as we navigate these seasons of some friendships lasting a lifetime. You know, people sometimes are in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, and maybe they're a lifer for you. And my grandmother used to say that. My mom used to grow up saying that to me, like, you're lucky if you have super, super tight-knit close friends that you can count on one hand. And my grandmother used to always talk about that. And so let's dive into the first thing, which is friendships can be seasonal. Okay. We don't like to think of it this way, but it even says in God's word in Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, it talks about how, you know, there's a time for everything, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to mend. But it's really digging into God's word to get the wisdom on when it is the right time to be doing each of those things, right? So I think that we need to be really clear about what our personal growth trajectory looks like and be really honest with ourselves and be willing to get to know new people, to always kind of keep, as my husband would say, your pipeline open in terms of your business, but really praying specifically about the type of friends we want to be around, and pray that God heightens your spiritual ears and your ability to see red flags, to see warning signs, to love people where they're at. But that doesn't mean that we have to usher them along in their own growth journey. And we don't necessarily have to be there along every single person's growth journey. It's not our job to help them. It's not our job to let people walk all over us, to create a toxic environment, because we're enabling it if we stay into that place. And so, you know, I talk to women all the time that will say things like, gosh, you know, we just don't have anything in common anymore. And we're just, you know, I've just kind of been realizing this friendship is not healthy for me, but I don't want to walk away. I don't want to give up on it because, you know, we've just known each other for so long. And I get it. Like, we shouldn't just throw out friendships just because, you know, we don't feel like we have anything in common. There's going to be ebbs and flows in life where we feel like we connect with people. You know, maybe we had kids, or maybe your life isn't moving in that same direction, or you've decided to kind of flip the script and totally change your life, and people don't really understand where you're going. Maybe you can't relate, or you feel like you can't relate to where someone is at, you know. But the Bible is very clear about this one thing, that see, you know, how seasonal life really is. And this does include our friendships, like we're talking about. And so, you know, we can, you know, joyfully, it sounds weird to say, end friendships when we sense that God is leading us into a new season. There's a time for everything. So that is including ending a friendship. Now, I have become an expert in this category. I hate to even say that because it sounds weird, but I have become an expert because as I've, again, like I said, really dove in head first, working on some of these things personally, what I realized along the way is that I was tolerating and not having boundaries in a lot of areas of my life that were very unhealthy. I was very much enabling these people in my life, these friendships in my life, to really be the mentor for them, to help them out, to not give up on them, to remain loyal. You know, I wanted to be there for them and wanted to keep showing up. But it got to a point where there were certain friendships that it just seems like the time had come. God was stirring within my spirit that it was not somebody that I was supposed to be investing my time and my energy into. Because if you believe that you become like the people that you surround yourself with, if you surround yourself with people who lie all the time, if you surround yourself with people who make excuses all the time, if you surround yourself with people who don't have good intentions, we're going to get into that in a second, or are struggling with a lot of their own issues. But the key there is, because we're all struggling with our own issues, but they're unwilling to, they're unwilling and not ready to really see past those issues, those excuses, those problems, and they're not in a solutions-oriented mindset. They're in a blaming people mindset. Everything is everybody else's problem, and they have no responsibility that they take in that matter. So moving on to number two, like, just want to get really clear with this. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. Okay? God may have helped that person to exit stage left. He may have been trying to show you for a long time red flags, but you weren't ready to see it because you weren't at really a healthy place yourself. And so it was really hard until you started really working on your personal growth, until you started really stepping out to do the hard work. And God was giving you this fresh perspective and this fresh revelation. You know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And so you ever talk to somebody and you're like, gosh, I'm just telling them, you know, to do this, this, and this. I'm giving them my advice, but they're just not taking it. It's because they're not ready to take it. Their spiritual ears are closed. They're not ready to take on the information. They're not going to be able to receive it. So less frustration on you trying to get them to see something and believe something that they're not ready to see. They're not ready to move. Maybe they're good with being comfortable and complaining and making excuses and being negative or not, you know, changing anything in their life, but just really getting comfortable complaining about it. You know, the drama, the talking behind people's backs, you get to a point where you come up with some helpful phrases, and I'm going to kind of give some of those, and things that you could say in those uncomfortable situations so that you're not just enabling the behavior, you're kind of calling it out in a respectful and a direct way, because your goal is not to prove this person wrong, not to make them feel shame or that there's, you know, something wrong with them, but it's really out of this loving place that you want to help elevate them to the best version of themselves. And you know what? It gets very uncomfortable doing that because, again, people are not willing to go there. So bad company corrupts good morals. A good friend should draw near to Jesus if you are a believer. They should draw near to Jesus. And we are warned in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that bad company corrupts good morals. God was giving us permission to end a friendship in that line. That's what that means. But today's culture tells us, you know, to leave any friendship that isn't serving us. And that isn't what this means. Just because you're frustrated or disappointed with a friend does not mean it's time to walk away. It's not becoming about this person isn't, you know, filling my needs, kind of like we've talked about in some of these relationship and marriage episodes. It's not about this person not filling your needs. It's about really surrounding yourself with people who you want to become more like, who have healthy relationships, healthy marriages, other healthy friendships. They have the longevity, not just because they're staying in it because it's easier, because they feel guilt if they end the relationship, but more so because, you know, they are unwilling to stay in an unhealthy place, and they love that person too much to lie to them, to enable to them, to continue to allow them to act in a particular way that's not serving them. So some friendships will be refined by seasons of that wrestling and difficulty, ones that God is really calling you to go deeper on, to have some honest conversation with them that maybe you've been unwilling to have. But if a friend is consistently showing up to gossip, make you feel horrible, tear you down, backhanded compliments, influencing you in a way that negatively impacts your walk with Jesus, it might be time to create some distance. And I saw this happening so many times over the past few years with multiple people in my life. I can think of, you know, offhand, some very clear examples of where there were people in my life that were supposedly my friends, that were talking behind my back. And then there were friends that were coming to me and saying, oh, this person is not saying nice things. And I'm like, why would you tell me that? And so that's a red flag right there, you guys. It's like if you have a group of friends and there's this kind of dissecting that is happening where certain people are saying, oh, this person said this, and they're kind of trying to stir the pot and create unnecessary drama, and they're making you feel worse when you leave their space, that's a pretty good sign right there, you know, because even somebody with the very best character will be impacted by the company that they keep. So you have to surround yourself with the people you want to become like, with the people that you want to emulate their personal life, whether it's personal, business life. Use this as a really great tool to evaluate your friendships by considering if the people around are people that you want to be influenced by. If they are doing all those things with you, or if they're talking that way about somebody else, what are they saying about you? And this is something that we, you know, I even think about this in relationships of people that are unfaithful. Like when people are on the other side of that and they're the other person, it's almost like something in their brain is somehow telling them, you know, you may be cheating on someone and yet you're somehow convinced that that person's not going to cheat on you, that they're not going to remain unfaithful, because that is the fruit. You're looking at the fruit, and what we really need to look at is the root. Like, where is this coming from? You know, what gets them to a place where they're becoming this way and acting this way? You know, what comes out of the mouth is often a result of what is in the heart. It's not what people, you know, say to us that stir things up. It's not other people triggering us. It's them stirring up what's already there. We have to remember that. And we have to just remember how important it is that, you know, why would we want to be around or influenced by somebody who treats us that way, makes us feel that way, right? We should be lifted up and feeling like, God, I just left so-and-so's space and I just feel so excited. I feel energized. I feel like I was just plugged into a charger and I'm energized. I want to be in their space. I want their energy. I want their fun. I want their joy. What is it? You know, before I was a believer, I really looked at that and I saw women of strong faith and I wanted their passion. I was like, I was itching and scratching at the surface to like, I don't know what it is that they have, but I want it. And I knew that God had something for me before I even really knew like who God was, you know, really learning about that, becoming a Christian, repenting. But it meant that I had to leave my old life behind. There's a lot of people who are unwilling to do that and just want to pick up the well-meaning comments of what Christianity is supposed to be. And they just want to live that out in a way that guides you know, and supports their own preferences. And anything outside of that, they get defensive. And God is very clear about that. It is God's truth. And we either repent of our old life and throw away, toss away, pick up our cross and follow him, and surround ourselves with people who are wanting to do that, who are open to that growth. They want more. They're seeking more. Or we stay in a place of stagnant mediocrity with people who claim that they want to change, but never actually do the hard work. It's all surface level stuff. And, you know, social media is so great at clouding our vision on this because, you know, we look at these people and we say, oh my gosh, these two just have the best friendship. I wish I was like them. This is so great. And meanwhile, if you were to look behind closed doors, you would realize that this is not a healthy friendship. The way that they talk and speak to each other in public outside of the pictures on Instagram is not a depiction of a true healthy relationship. It's not the longevity and the things of character that really matter. So on to number three, kind of passing that, because I feel like we kind of tied that one up. Number three is God wants to do a new thing. You know, as I was transitioning out of some of these friendships, I for years was praying for Christian girlfriends, women that were at a similar stage of life as me. And I feel so grateful because it's so crazy that God, even when you feel forgotten, even when you feel like it's a lonely walk to do that personal work, to feel left out in those friendships where people could be purposely leaving you out and you're like, what is it about me? Why am I the third wheel? Why can't I fit in? Why aren't they asking me for those opportunities? Why am I not getting those moments? We could go around and around in our head and come up with all of these supposed truths of what we think the story is, but we really never know. And because we really don't ever know, our mind will come up with all sorts of crazy stuff. But here's the thing, God wants to do a new thing. His timing is always perfect. He always knows exactly what we need and the timing in which we're going to need it. You know, I was terrified as I was coming out of those relationships because I was kind of comfortable and knew what kind of, you know, what to accept, even the dysfunction of them. But I was really sick of feeling the way I was feeling. And it was just kind of like when you're in a bad relationship and then you realize how bad it is. And you just, it's like people in your life probably are like, gosh, when are they going to know? When are they going to know? When are they going to know? We think that if we just kind of pack it down, not worry about it, we're just like, I'll just put up with this because it's easier than like, it's so hard to make friends now. This is what we think. You know, we accept the dysfunction as just our normal because it feels comfortable to us and we don't want to let it go. But God kept reminding me over and over and over again that he was doing a new thing. If you remember, even a year or so ago, my word was new. And God, this was the verse. It was Isaiah 43:19, where God said, I'm doing a new thing. He reminded me of that he was going to do a new thing. And I needed to make space for a new thing. I couldn't add something on. I couldn't, you know, just walk in and open up to this new opportunity, this new space, the new people that he was going to have me meet if I was holding and clinging tightly to what I had outgrown. You ever have like a favorite sweatshirt and you're just like, I want to fit into this favorite pair of jeans, something like that. And like, you've outgrown it. But it's like you're living in the past. You're like, but these are comfortable. I like lounging in these. I always thought these looked good on me. Like, it looks really good from the outside in. Like, if I could just get in here and just like style this up and like tighten these jeans up, like it looks great. But it's not worth it. We only have a limited number of hours in a day, and we can only invest a certain amount of time. When we're tied up in shame and regret and going inward to be insecure about all these things because the people that we're around matter so much. And when we're around people who don't make us feel comfortable and safe in ourselves, it's wasting our time. We need to invest in these friendships that God is calling us to. And as a multi-passionate, crazy person, this is a really challenging one for me. But Jesus modeled this in so many different ways. And it teaches me more and more just how I think that I'm so trusting. I think that I'm trusting God at every turn, but I could always be learning to trust him more. And that's really one of my biggest prayers is saying like, God, help me to trust and to accept and to understand and implement more of what you say. How can I trust you more? How can I believe more of what you're telling me? This is in my quiet time almost daily, right? Because I have to prioritize time with God and just shut off all the noise. God, you know, has boundaries. He has a vision for us to have boundaries in our relationships. And he was very aware, and like if we look at Jesus in the Bible, like he was very aware of how he was investing his time. Okay? So if God feels like you're investing in a friendship and it's drawing you away from him, these friendships, you may find like there's a drifting that happens. There's a natural expiration date because it is seasonal. We don't have unlimited time to invest in every single friendship, to spend time with every single person that we want to. So it is picking and choosing. It's making a decision. If you're not someone who's good at making a decision in general, you're going to struggle with that because you just almost wish that like somebody would tell you, or that, you know, if a friendship was meant to end, it would just end kind of on its own, or it would just drift away and there wouldn't be drama and you wouldn't be upsetting people and you wouldn't have to have hard conversations, because that seems easier. But sometimes those hard conversations are necessary. With people that are unhealthy, what you will notice is that when you try to have these conversations with them, even in a loving and respectful way, as to why you need to move into, you know, move into another place, that you're being led in a different direction, these people will get very defensive because it's stirring up in them the things that they don't like about themselves, and a lot of times the things that we know about ourselves that we don't want to admit, and now we feel exposed. But if they're not willing to do the work, we have to sometimes lovingly put it down and say, God is calling me in another direction. Because remember, he heard the conversations that you didn't. That goes along with the trust factor. We need to trust that God has our best interest, that he's not just going to lead us out of a friendship and not going to leave us alone and trying to find friends. As we pray and we continue to step into, where can I get involved? Where are the people that I want to become like? Where are they hanging out? Where are they doing life? What do they do? Do they go to church? Do they help serve others? What are the activities and places of where they're going to be? And how are they going to respond? Like if I was the healthiest version of myself, how would I respond to this? What's like my natural inclination of belief of how I think someone would respond to a hard conversation or situation or issue that's brought up within a friendship? And if things are going really off the rails and they're not quite there, that is a lesson. And tied into our confidence that we're always talking about, it's also imperative that we are realizing and accepting the fact that we will only attract people at the level of confidence that we hold or confidence below us. We will never attract people that have a higher confidence level than we do. We won't attract those people. It doesn't mean that we won't talk to them, we won't do business with them, we won't do things. It may not be received because people pick up on that energy that's not there. But we're not going to attract those people. What do you think is better? Attracting those type of people into our space because they want to collaborate and want to do life with you as much as you want to do life with them. It's like this symbiotic, easy, fun, lightweight type of friendship. It just feels easy. Like you don't have to talk every day, but the conversations you have, the depth that you have, the realness, the vulnerability that you can have to really be there for each other in real life stuff is there. That's the thing that matters most. And we are just really being put through the ringer as we continue to allow people to step all over us, to treat us harshly. And yet we give them all of this access to ourselves and we have a limited amount of emotional output in a day. We give people so much access to our emotions, to our deepest thoughts, to our prayers, to our insecurities. And then the wrong people will use that power and that access to turn and to hurt us in a lot of times. And you know what? That's okay too. We learn a lot through that process. You know, if you've ever felt left out, if you've ever felt betrayed, guess what? Good, because so has Jesus. And he is the OG in walking that out in a way that loves people, that is able to move forward. And that's what I want for you. And so, Lord, I just pray that everything that you want us to taken from this episode would just be downloaded right into our heart and right into our spirit, God, that we would have a fruitful spirit, a loving spirit, that you would direct us in the way that we should go in our friendships. Help us to know if something needs to end. And if so, when is the timing? Give us those words to say, God. Give us those tangible things that we can do to grow personally and to take personal responsibility where it's necessary so that we can reach that level of excellence that you call us to. Because you heard conversations that we didn't. Thank you guys so much, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you loved it, would you share it with a friend or share it on social and tag me at Courage Queen Pod so I can personally thank you. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to Courage Queen Podcast wherever you listen, and make sure to leave that 5-star review. Did you know we have a fabulous and free community for our listeners where we share all the juicy details for women who are ready to take action towards their dreams? Click the link in the show notes to learn more. As always, thanks for being here. Courage starts with showing up. And if you ask me, it's time to step into your dreams with faith-filled peace and confidence.